Psalms as we continue in our series Songs for the Climb, and you'll find that in your red Bibles on page 443, page 443, and in the black Bibles you'll find that on page 619, page 619. Psalms 133 and 134. Well, before we read those, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Moses tells us the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would empower us to do just that, to follow all the words of this law. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 133 and then 134. A song of ascents of David. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord. Well, one of the things that I really love and appreciate is going for a hike up a high mountain. Mind you, not a climb, just a hike, and to see the spectacular view once you arrive there is just so rewarding, isn't it? To enjoy that wide open plain, or to enjoy the rolling hill after hill after hill, or to enjoy that expanse of the ocean as it reaches to the horizon, or perhaps to enjoy those great ranges of mountains that seem to just continue forever and ever. It's a wonderful thing to be able to experience that reward after climbing. And as we come to Psalms 133 and 134 this morning, we are coming to the conclusion of the songs of ascent. You'll remember that these are the songs that the Lord's people, Israel, the Jewish people, sang as they climbed on their way to Mount Zion, the pilgrims going to the festivals at the temple in Jerusalem. And in fact, these two psalms, Psalms 133 and 134, are probably the songs that they would have sang on arriving at the temple. At long last, after traveling surely some days to get to the temple, depending on where they would have journeyed from, they have arrived. They have come to the Lord's house. And so the first of these songs that we're looking at this morning, Psalm 133, begins, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." I think that is the key verse of this psalm, because the concern of this song is the unity of the Lord's people. And it's interesting that there are two qualities of the unity of God's people that David tells us about. The first is that the unity of the brothers, as it says in the original, or the family of the Lord, as we might translate it, the brothers and sisters, the first quality of that is good. It is morally positive. It is not neutral. Unity is not something that can simply be discarded. Unity is good. But not only is unity good, David tells us unity amongst the Lord's people is pleasant. It's attractive. It's enjoyable. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And then David takes us to these two wonderful pictures. They are two comparisons that he draws, if you will, with the unity of God's people. Two pictures painting how good and pleasant it is to be united as the Lord's people. The first is this marvelous picture of oil being poured on the head of Aaron, Moses' brother, who, of course, would have lived hundreds of years before King David, who wrote this psalm. But Aaron was the first high priest of the nation of Israel. And he was anointed, as were all of the high priests, for his office when he took up this ministry, this service in the temple. And so there's this picture of oil being poured on his head. And it's not just any oil. It's oil that would have been set aside for this specific purpose. And in fact, the anointing oil was always a very perfumed oil. It was an oil to which spices and herbs were added in order that it had this marvelous fragrance to it. And David talks about this oil being poured on the head of Aaron, and the oil slowly comes down the head of Aaron, and then it continues onto the beard of Aaron, and then it continues down onto the collar of his robes. It's a marvelous picture, isn't it, of this fragrant anointing oil together coming down over the great high priest, unifying his hair and his beard and his collar all under this anointing. It's a picture of something that is pleasant, something that is attractive. And that is what the unity of the Lord's people is like. But then he also gives us another picture, doesn't he? And we see that in the first part of verse 3. "It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion." Now, Hermon, we need to recognize, Mount Hermon is an enormous mountain in the north of Israel, in the far north of Israel. It is an exceedingly tall mountain, and it is a mountain that is regularly covered with snow. In fact, when I Googled Mount Hermon, almost all of the pictures that I could find of it, it was covered in snow. But David says, it is as if unity amongst the people of the Lord is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is, of course, Jerusalem in the south of the land of Israel. And quite frankly, Mount Zion is not much of a mount. Mount Zion is almost a hill. I'm sure you've seen many photos of the Temple Mount of Jerusalem. It's not nearly as spectacular as Mount Hermon in the north, and it's really quite small in comparison. And yet unity among the Lord's people is like the dew of great Mount Hermon on little Mount Zion, flowing down. Can you imagine that huge quantity of dew that would have formed on Mount Zion, on Mount Hermon in the north, forming on Mount Zion in the south? It's miraculous, of course, for that to happen, but just imagine it. No longer this dry, dusty little Mount Zion, but refreshed by being absolutely covered in an overwhelming amount of dew. Well, that is a picture of the unity of the Lord's people, of the Lord's family, of brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, why is this so beautiful, so wonderful? Well, besides the reality of unity itself being good and pleasant, there's even more. Because David concludes at the end of Psalm 133, "For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." Brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean that the reward for unity is everlasting life. No, not at all. But those people who live in unity, brothers and sisters who live in unity, the Lord's people who live in unity, are the people who will inherit eternal life. And so that makes that unity all the more glorious, doesn't it? Because we are the people who are the glad recipients of everlasting life. And not only that, but we are the people who will live together in eternity. But living together in unity is not something that's easy. It's something that we need to strive for, isn't it? It's something that, at the very least, we need to maintain. It doesn't happen just along the way. And so, brothers and sisters, if we want to see our church, if we want to see Raft Anglican Church thriving, a vital church, a healthy church, a church that is growing in our relationship with the Lord and a church that is growing in number, then we need to be a united people. We need to be a people that are loving and caring for one another. Because that is good and pleasant. And if we want to be a people that is having an impact upon Roval and Ferntree Gully, a people who are a witness to our community, well, we'll certainly never do that with gossip and slander and judgmentalism and backbiting. There's nothing attractive about that, is there? There's nothing good or pleasant about that. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to in any way influence Roval and Ferntree Gully for Christ, if we are going to see people in our community coming to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be a united people. Well, then we turn to Psalm 134, and it's the very last of these songs for the climb. And it's a very different focus, isn't it? Because now the focus of Psalm 134 is on praising the Lord. In fact, in the original language, it is actually blessing the Lord. The NIV, unfortunately, the New International Version, the translation that we use, actually masks the fact that over and over again in Psalm 134, the word is bless. But the NIV uses two words, both bless and praise. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. What does this mean? Bless the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It's a song which is being sung to a group of people called the servants of the Lord, and they minister in the house of the Lord. So this is a song that is being sung to the priests in the temple in Jerusalem by these pilgrims who have arrived. And they're calling the priests to bless the Lord. It seems difficult, doesn't it, to fathom how we can bless the Lord. Aren't we usually praying that the Lord will bless us? Well, what does it mean for us to bless the Lord? It simply means to reflect or to remember or to recall who the Lord is and what he has done. To remember who the Lord is and what he has done. To bring that to mind. To bring that to the attention of others. And in the Psalm 134, they are calling upon the priests who are on the night shift to do this. You see, in the temple, the fragrant offering and the fires needed to be kept continually going, 24/7, 365 and a quarter days of the year. And so they're calling these pilgrims to the priests, who surely would have had a much quieter job at night, you can imagine, to bless the Lord. And they call on them to lift their hands in the sanctuary, in the holy place. What do they mean by lift their hands? I don't know about you, but when I hear that language of lifting your hands, I either think of a concert where people are excited and they're putting their hands in the air, or they're swaying their hands together. Everybody's, you know, part of this whole vibe, this experience that's going on. Or perhaps you're thinking of Christians in different churches, maybe even in our church, who might lift their hands as they're singing. Well, it's not actually talking about that. It's not talking about singing. It's actually talking about praying. Because it was common practice in the ancient Jewish culture, and it still remains common practice today for Jewish people to pray like this, standing, holding their hands out to the Lord, lifting up their hands to the Lord, and often praying out loud as well. We're more accustomed perhaps to putting our hands together and praying quietly, but that was not their custom. And so the pilgrims are calling on the priests to remember who the Lord is and what he has done. Why? Because he has made them a people. He has come and made his presence live among them. It's a glorious reality, isn't it, that the temple was where the Almighty God chose to make his home with his people. But that's not the only time that the Lord has chosen to make his home with us, because Jesus, in a much greater way, as we know, came bringing the presence of the Lord into our world in an even more marvelous way than the temple. And in fact, we can know that presence today ourselves the presence of the Lord through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But let me remind you of the words that I read to you last week from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are the temple of the Lord. We, as God's people collectively, are that spiritual building that is being built. We, in other words, Raft Anglican Church, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are where God's presence is known, is located. And so it's only right that we bless the Lord, isn't it? That we honor Him and praise Him for His grace to us, His undeserved favor, for His mercy, for His compassion upon us, for His love, for His caring for us, for His forgiveness in spite of our sinfulness, atoning for our sins, for reconciling us to Him, for making peace between Him and us, for giving us the gift of His Spirit. And so the psalm concludes in verse 3. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who is the maker of heaven and earth. Well, now the tables have been turned, haven't they? It's no longer us blessing the Lord, but it's the Lord blessing us. And what does it mean for the Lord to bless us? Well, essentially it's the Lord showing His approval. But what that means for us is it's the Lord bringing us into intimate relationship with Him and with others. I'll say that again. Bringing us into intimate relationship with Him and with others. And blessing us according to all our needs. Granting us all that we need. Well, how can we be sure that the Lord will do this? Because of who He is. It says in verse 3, He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the creator. He is the Almighty. He has made everything seen and unseen. There is nothing that is beyond His power. He can bless us in whatever way He pleases. He can bless us and in each and every single way that He pleases. And indeed, that's precisely what we see, isn't it, in the Christian life. That we have been, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. Brothers and sisters, it is only fitting that we praise the Lord. And we do that in a variety of ways. And with this, I conclude. We praise the Lord by praying, as the priests in the temple were called to do. We bless the Lord as we remember who He is and what He has done in our prayers, whether it's our personal prayers or it's our corporate prayers. But we don't only do it in our prayers, we also do it in our singing, don't we? And so may I encourage you, when you sing these songs that we sing together as a congregation, to sing them wholeheartedly, to sing them both to one another as well as to the Lord, blessing the Lord. And of course, we can also do this by sharing our story of what the Lord has done for us, of how the Lord has blessed us, so we can bless Him by recounting that, by sharing that with our friends, by sharing that with our neighbors, by sharing that with our family. And above all, we can bless the Lord by sharing Jesus with the people in our community, with our loved ones, with our acquaintances, sharing what God in His sovereign grace has done for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, let us bless the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that indeed more and more we would know the truth of how good and how pleasant the unity of the family of the Lord is, of the brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that that unity might be something that we are aware of as so positive and that we appreciate and enjoy as a community, as Raft Anglican Church. But we pray that that might be something also that the wider community identifies in us, that they see in our fellowship. We pray that that we might enjoy the blessing of eternal life. Father, we pray too that you would help us to bless you, to bless your Son and the Holy Spirit as we reflect on who you are in all your goodness, in all your beauty, in all your truth. And as we name that and recount all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that in him we have every spiritual blessing. And so we do indeed bless you. In his name, amen. Well, let us stand.